Happy Thanksgiving and welcome to Ring of Fire. I am Farron Cousins. We've got a wonderful show coming up for you today, especially because MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell is out there. He's doing his big stream-a-thon this week. And of course, as he told us last week, he is bringing his case to the Supreme Court. I'll get more into that in just a moment. But also coming up on today's show, the triumphant return of Ring of Fire's own Mike Papantonio. Pap's got a new book out. It's called Inhuman Trafficking. It is a fictionalized tale of the human trafficking crisis here in the United States that is actually based off of the human trafficking cases that Mike's law firm is handling. You don't want to miss that. And of course, you don't want to miss out on getting Mike's new book. We'll tell you how coming up a little bit later. Welcome to Ring of Fire. Before I get into the Mike Lindell ruining Thanksgiving for everybody, I do want to take just a moment. It's Thanksgiving. It's tradition. We give thanks, right? And I want to say thank you to everybody that is out here listening to Ring of Fire. Just to rehash, and I know I say this a lot. I get sentimental sometimes. But, you know, we've been doing Ring of Fire since, I believe, May or late April of 2004. So we're coming up on our 18-year anniversary of Ring of Fire here. Of course, it started as a once a weekend show for 1 hour, then it expanded to 3 hours. Then we had Go Left TV, we expanded to Free Speech TV. Now Mike's got his show America's Lawyer. For a while we were on TYT TV. And of course, we've got our growing YouTube channel, over 800,000 subscribers. So we're still here. We've seen a lot of folks come and go from this business. You know, some good, some not so great, but Ring of Fire hasn't gone anywhere. And the reason for that is because of you, because of the support that we get, because you're still listening and tuning in every week. And so for that, we want to say thank you. And I have to say that I am just eternally grateful and thankful for the opportunity to be sitting here and talking to you all. You know, I've been doing it for many years, obviously, on our YouTube channel. But to, you know, be given the reins to this podcast, which this is now only my fourth week here doing the podcast. It's my, you know, 17 and a half years being here. But it's such a wonderful opportunity. And I'm able to get back to what I really missed, which is talking to people. You know, if you're a regular viewer of our YouTube channel, you know that I go on there every morning. I'm cranking out 8 videos a day. But it's just me. You know, I'm talking to the audience, I'm explaining issues, and that's fun. I love doing that. I absolutely do. But you miss the interaction you have with people. You miss the feeding off of one another. And so that's what I really love about getting back into the Ring of Fire show here, is getting to talk to people again and having these ideas and bouncing concepts off one another. It's just something you can't do, obviously, by yourself. So I am grateful for that. But one thing I am not grateful for is MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell trying to ruin everyone's Thanksgiving. On Wednesday, Mike Lindell began his 72-hour stream, much like his August convention stream thing that he did. And he swears this time, though, he is totally going to give us all of the evidence of all the voter fraud that totally definitely happened. Even though, of course, you know, he's been given opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to give us this evidence. He's been given the opportunity in court to turn over this evidence that he swears exists, but he hasn't ever been able to do it. And we all know why. Because it doesn't exist. But it's not just his little stream this week, okay? He is also, as he announced late last week, he has taken his case to the Supreme Court. And he says that after the Supreme Court looks at this, they're only going to have two options. One, they can either just reverse the results of the 2020 election, thereby making Donald Trump the president. Or, of course, they could simply order a new election, and then we just go from there. And, of course, we all vote for Trump, and Trump wins, and everybody's happy. Everybody goes home great. Those aren't things that can happen. There is no remedy in the United States Constitution for a supposedly rigged election. Like, this isn't even something the Supreme Court could do if they wanted to. They're going to laugh at him, even the conservatives on that court, because they know how ridiculous this truly is. And maybe deep down, Mike Lindell does too. I don't know. I'm not in his head, thank God. But you have to assume there's got to be a small part of him that knows this is all for show. And the reason we know that is because his big streamathon this week isn't just about exposing election fraud. Oh, no, no, no. He's also having a massive Black Friday sale of MyPillow products, and he's going to be giving out special coupon codes for people to go and purchase his stupid pillows. So it's all publicity. It's all for show. The guy just wants to sell more pillows, and of course, he's gotten himself sued for $1.3 billion in the process, which Mike Lindell does not have. Mike Lindell has a net worth, last time I checked, of, I think it's hovering right around $300 million. It's not a small amount by any stretch of the imagination. I'm sure everybody listening here, we'd love to have $300 million. But $300 million, as we all know, because we're not idiots, is not $1.3 billion. So there is talk right now with legal experts who have predicted that if Mike Lindell loses this defamation case that was brought against him by Dominion Voting Systems, a defamation case that, by the way, he's going to make so much worse for himself with his little streamathon this week, because you know he's going to say false things about the companies. So anyway, if he loses this case, even if they knock that, total amount down by to a quarter of what it is, he still loses everything, which means, according to legal experts, he could also lose the MyPillow company, which could, the experts tell us, end up in the hands of Dominion Voting Systems. So not only would Mike Lindell be a proven fraud, not only does he lose this massive court battle, but he could lose his company. All because he wanted to make Donald Trump the president again. And here's my message for that. Nobody who gets involved with Donald Trump gets a happily ever after. And I wish all of these individuals understood that. I mean, look at Mike Pence. Donald Trump's out there, you know, defending the Capitol rioters who came into the building and said, "Hang Mike Pence." He defended them and said, well, they were angry because Pence didn't overturn the election like he should have. He was a coward. So Mike Pence throws away his evangelical street cred to run on the ticket with the probably never been inside of a church Donald Trump. And now this guy that he thought was his friend is defending the people that wanted to murder him. So no happy ending for Mike Pence there. Rudy Giuliani, well, I think we all know what's happening with Rudy Giuliani. The guy's likely to lose his law license and end up in jail. So that's not exactly a happy ending. Matt Gaetz threw his lot in with Donald Trump. We all know what's going on with him. Not going to be a happy ending, most likely. And then, of course, you have all of the other individuals that have been subpoenaed, that have been arrested. Some that have even been convicted. Of course, some of them got pardons, like Roger Stone and Michael Flynn. But still not exactly a happy story. And Mike Lindell has watched all of this happen. He has seen the horrifying fate that all of these other individuals have suffered. And he still said, you know what? I'm going to do that too. Same thing with Sidney Powell, who's facing the same predicament as Mike Lindell. You know, she's also getting sued by Dominion, and she's already out there complaining that I don't have the money to pay for this. So what are you going to do? What are you going to do, Sidney? What are you going to do, Mike? Because you have no other options. You dug yourself into this hole. Same thing with Rudy Giuliani, because he's also getting sued for over $1 billion by Dominion. You all dug yourselves into these holes because you wanted to make Donald Trump happy. He hasn't shown up to pay for your legal fees, as Rudy Giuliani found out the hard way. He's not even returning Giuliani's calls last time we heard. He's not going to pay these settlements for you. He probably doesn't even have the money to do it. So what do you get out of this? a ruined reputation, financial disasters. In the case of Mike Pillow, you might actually lose your own company. You lose your future revenue-creating stream here. So the question I have at the end of all of this is it worth it? Mike Lindell sitting there for the next 3 days talking about voter fraud that doesn't exist. Is it worth it? They can't answer that question because they know the answer. And if they give the answer to that question, they're going to make Donald Trump mad. And of course, they don't want to do that. But it hasn't been worth it for anyone. Nobody that associates themselves with Donald Trump gets that happily ever after that we're all hoping we all receive in life. Now let's move on here. As I mentioned, Mike Papantonio has a new book out. It's called Inhuman Trafficking. It's an in-depth look, but a fictionalized look at the human trafficking crisis here in the United States. Recently, I had the opportunity. I sat down with Pap. We discussed the book. So let's go to that interview. The United States is currently going through many crises. We have, of course, the ongoing pandemic. We still have an opioid crisis out there. But there is another one that is not getting the attention that it deserves, and that is the human trafficking crisis here in the United States. I have Mike Papantonio with me. Mike has a new book coming out very soon here. It's called Inhuman Trafficking. And this is your fourth novel in recent years, actually. So I know you've worked on human trafficking cases. You've now turned it into this book. So give us just kind of the quick picture without giving too much away.
Yeah. You know, what I found is that people, when you can tell a story, it's a fiction book, but it's based on absolute, most of everything in the book is true in one form or another. And what I do is I take cases. For example, we filed the first national human trafficking case up in Ohio, where we're trying to spin that into what we call an MDL. That's a multi-district litigation group where all the lawyers in the country converge and we try to solve the problem. So we filed that, and the story in this book, Inhuman Trafficking, is driven by what we filed. You can almost take our complaint and that we filed in federal court, and you could follow that complaint and understand what the book is about, in the sense that this particular book focuses on the same characters that if you've read the other novels. You have Deke, you have Carol Morris, you've got all the same characters in this book. But this is a little more intense. And the other books have had, you know, terrible tragedies, but I don't know how it gets any more tragic than human trafficking. So what we've done is taken a couple of cases that we're familiar with. One case happened right down the road where you had people in the Ukraine that were recruited to come over here to the United States. And supposedly to move into the restaurant business. They were supposed to be greeters. They're supposed to learn the service industry in the United States. So you would have the traffickers go to the Ukraine. They would set up applications and interviews as if they're going to get this job here in the United States. And they'd bring them over here and they'd say, well, okay, I need your passport. I need your identification, and I'll keep your money for you and just give you money as you need it. And we're having to do that because of the immigration laws. And, of course, it was nonsense. But they would start the girls working as greeters at a restaurant maybe for 2 weeks. And then they would say, well, would you like to make some more money? Because, oh, by the way, we happen to also own a strip club right down the road. And if you're a greeter in the strip club, you'll make more money there in the strip club. And then 2 weeks later, oh, by the way, if you don't mind taking off your clothes and going up on the pole and dancing, you're going to make more money. And then 2 weeks later, oh, by the way, Tom out here in the audience wants to take you on a date. And it's a step up process, okay? And at each process, they're making more money. the trafficker is actually keeping most of the money, that person then becomes dependent on the trafficker. That's just one type of trafficking, but that's what this particular book focuses on because it's so prevalent. And so the story is one where the main character, Deke, Nicholas Deke-Thomas, is running a law firm, and he's confronted with somebody who's been caught up in that process. They're actually being held prisoner. And that person who's being held prisoner understands that her best friend was trafficked and was sold to some folks that own a boat. And her death takes place on the boat because of the way they abuse this girl. And so she's simply trying to hire Nicholas Deke-Thomas, or Deke, who also has a national reputation for handling big cases. And that's where the story starts. He then understands that the law enforcement generally does nothing to help traffickers. It's very rare that law enforcement even understands how trafficking takes place. So he takes on a civil case with the thought of then merging it into a criminal case. And it's a lot of intensity to this book.
And we see it in the United States too, not just with the international folks. We also see it, I know we've had the trucking industry, hotels and motels and truck stops. I mean, there are a lot, as you just pointed out, there's no just one scam.
Yeah.
One way.
The trucking, very interesting. I know you did a story on this. My memory's right. The trucking industry, what happens is they'll take, the trucking business is, with this type of human trafficking, is primarily U.S. citizens, girls who are runaways or whatever the situation may be. They pull them into trafficking. Most of the time it starts in L.A., this type of trafficking. The girls are then, trucked in semis down highway I-10, which is across the southern part of the United States. In a semi, they may put 10 girls with bunks, beds, and the truck moves down the road, and the trucker will get a call. It'll be an announcement with some type of code. Stop number 35. If you stop at 35, then the message is you're going to be able to have sex with an underage girl. And so that trafficking takes place all the way across the United States, all up to the, that's also part of this book. It's part of, we show how that takes place. Another type of trafficking, and again, it's part of the story. This is not a nonfiction book. It's fiction, but the true stories are told through those fiction words. The other part that was discussed a little bit is the Romeo process. And the Romeo process is where a girl may be at a bar. She may have a normal life. And a Romeo, who's good-looking, American boy most of the time with another good-looking American girl, approaches the girl, and they start talking about fun parties and all, and they'll take that girl to what's supposed to be a fun party, and you never see her again. The next place she shows up is in Dubai or Mexico City. And so all of this goes on, and most of the American public is completely in the dark about it, totally impervious. And the whole purpose of this book, Farron, is to give them a story. But when they walk away from the story, they've learned something they didn't know. They've learned about the underbelly of a really ugly, ugly business. There's a character that's created in this book that I love. There's a matter of fact, right down the road from where I live, in Fort Walton Beach at Hurlburt Field, they train these special op people called PJs, pararescuemen is what they're called. And these are people that make it through the most grueling training ever. A lot of them start out as SEALs. They may start as SEALs. They may be Delta Force. They may Green Beret. But the person they're looking for in there is not the team player. They don't want, I'm part of a SEAL team. They want the guy or the girl who says, I'm not a team player. I'm on my own. So they recruit that person and they put them in this training called PJ training. And these are people that if, let's say a politician is being held captive in Zimbabwe and they need to go and rescue that person. They'll drop the PJ out of 40,000 feet on a halo dive, dive them into the water, whatever has to happen. They operate totally on their own. And then they do the rescue with the support. The only support they have is communication support. And they get that person out of there. It really developed in, I think Second World War is where it kind of started, and then it's just become more and more sophisticated. So this is a young man that's come to work with the law firm, works with Deke. And Deke doesn't know what to think of him, you know. Deke kind of thinks he's just kind of a soft touch because he doesn't do really well in depositions. But he starts learning this guy's skill set is incredible. And so he's part of the solution as the book progresses in having Deke recover his stepdaughter. I say stepdaughter. He thinks of his stepdaughter. She's really a goddaughter, you know. And she has been trafficked.
And so similar to Law and Disorder, Law and Vengeance, Law and Addiction, it's not just about telling a compelling story, you know, getting involved with the characters. It is, you want people to walk away from this with some knowledge that this is a real, actual problem here in this country.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's educational as well as entertaining, you know, much like the other three books, because they all dealt with real trials, real lawsuits, real problems. You know, obviously, as you pointed out, you've got the fictionalized parts. You know, you got to change specific details because you can't give away too much.
Folks are murdered here. And
right.
That stuff.
So it is a really good way to basically teach people without them even knowing that they're learning what's actually happening out there.
Well, I don't think I've ever written a book that wasn't. Most of the time when I sign a book for people, one of my favorite little things to write is fact is always stranger than fantasy in the practice of law. And so I always write that in whatever I'm writing when I'm signing a book for somebody, because that just is the truth. Most all great stories that you see, fiction stories, or, you know, they get close to what actually happens in the legal profession in one level. I mean, we handle cases, for example, the next book is going to be on terrorism, where we're handling cases where banks are washing money for terrorists. Well, you can imagine the fun we're going to have with that.
So why is it best to tell these stories this way? You know, how is this, you know, so effective?
I think it's effective because people can take a book and they can take it to the beach and they can read a story that entertains them. And it's not forcing it down their throat. They're not, you know, it's not beating to death with bad news, because there's good news in this book. There's solutions to the problem in this book. And they walk away, it's a great story. It's an uplifting story in the end. And they've learned a lot. And so that's what I've really tried to do with all of my books, whether it was the last one was on the opioid crisis. One before that was on where you had DuPont that was killing 70,000 people up and down the Ohio River Valley with a chemical that we handled. So, but you could read both of those stories and you could say, wow, I think my takeaway is I know more than I knew going into it. I was entertained. And there's a solution here.
So that's great. And as you mentioned, this isn't the last one. You've got, the terrorism focus next. I'm assuming, because I've known you for so long, there's other ideas kicking around in there too. So if you want to tell us any what may come in the future,
I'm going to do a story on the chemical industry and how they're Paraquat. You're going to be hearing a lot about Paraquat in the next few months. It's a case that I've launched, but I think the interesting part of the story is how the chemical industry has taken over control of legislation and regulation, and that they're killing us with no less than 100 different chemicals. And people are just walking, kicking, whistling through the graveyard as it takes place.
If you want to pick up a copy of Mike Papantonio's new book, In Human Trafficking, of course, you can find it on Amazon. You can get it on BarnesandNoble.com, pretty much anywhere books are sold. Again, the book is called In Human Trafficking. And if you pick up a copy after you read it, we would really love it if you could go and leave a review, let everybody know what you think about it. And of course, this is Mike's fourth novel. So if you haven't read the other ones, you're still okay reading this one. But go ahead, pick up the other ones too if you want to. There's Law and Disorder, Law and Vengeance, and Law and Addiction. So again, Mike Papantonio, and since it is Thanksgiving week, we want to say we are thankful for Mike Papantonio. After all, he is the guy who founded Ring of Fire here. None of us would be here if it weren't for Pap. So Pap, if you're listening, man, thank you for everything that you have done for us, every opportunity that you have given us. Clearly, the opportunities you have given for me have changed my life. So thank you. And for more Ring of Fire, don't forget you can get the full show, ROFpodcast.com. Become a member, help support us, and fresh videos every single day of the year on our YouTube channel at youtube.com/TheRingOfFire. And check out the community page there where you can actually become a member and help support us there. Same thing on Patreon at patreon.com/TheRingOfFire. We have wonderful tiers. You can get early access to videos. And of course, the most important ones, you can get exclusive access to videos that we do not make available to the public. So again, you can either do that on youtube.com/TheRingOfFire or patreon.com/TheRingOfFire. And if for some reason you want even more of me, you can get me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Farron Balanced. I hope everybody listening has a wonderful Thanksgiving break. Sit back, relax, enjoy this time off, and we'll see you next week.